All right. Hello and welcome to episode number 114 of the Three Drinks In podcast. I'm your host, Vince. Over there is Phil.
Hey.
There is Phil. In this episode, we are waiting for Miss Brianna Hildebrand to show up and talk about her role as Negasonic Teenage Warhead in Deadpool 2. Before that, though, I want to remind you that Three Drinks In is available on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and TuneIn Radio. Just search for Three Drinks In podcast. You'll easily find us. Click subscribe, tell your friends, leave a review. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Three Drinks In Pod. That's at the number 3 Drinks In Pod. Like us on Facebook and email us at threedrinksinpodcast@gmail.com. That's all the business. Anything else?
No.
All right. Here it goes.
You want to die?
This kid's adorable. I don't know why I packed the hollow points.
I'll burn your balls off!
Did you just say hollow points?
Yeah. Probably should have brought a super soaker.
Hi there.
Stay back or Justin Bieber dies.
Justin Bieber, he called you Justin Bieber.
Oh, hold on, wait. Okay, let's not do whatever that is. Okay, let's just talk. I mean, it's Russell, right?
Fire fist.
Ooh, that's a great name. Where does it burn? Just the fist or all the way up to the elbow? Oh, definitely all the way up to the elbow.
Come quietly, or there will be trouble.
You stole that from RoboCop.
That's from RoboCop. Just stand down. You're embarrassing me. Look, fire. Oh my God. I can't say it. I'm so sorry.
It's only Thursday, but I've got a beer.
That's good. What kind of beer is that?
It's just the Wrench from the good folks over at Industrial Arts Brewing. I had a very long day.
Oh, yeah. Tell me about it.
Went to the Bronx Zoo with the kiddos. So, at this point, I'm up to 16,386 steps.
Well, going to the zoo will do that to you.
Yeah, yeah. And then I came home and I, you know, weed whacked the lawn and blew off all the debris. So very, very full day.
Uh-huh.
All right.
Did you see the lions and tigers and bears?
The lions and the bears, not the tigers.
Oh.
So
they were put down.
We did lose the polar bear over here at the Bronx Zoo. That was sad. Was
it too hot for him?
No, it was. I think he was ill or old or both.
Probably from the heat.
Well, yeah, no, they can. They're fine. The pool full of water. It was like 8 degrees. That water.
Mm.
But it's too bad. It was fun.
Yeah. Well, I always think the more exotic animals are more fun to see. You know, like, hey, look, here's another snake. Yeah, whatever, man.
Well, they have boa constrictors and pythons in there. You don't see those very often. Those are enormous.
Yeah, well, they also don't move.
Actually, no. The one I saw today was moving, not a lot, because they don't really run. But
you just like being contrary, don't you?
No, it's true. I never get to go into the reptile house because my wife is not a fan of snakes at all. So we just kind of go past that.
Do you still have to pay extra?
I don't think you ever did for the reptile house. Just like,
oh,
like
yes,
you know,
you
like.
Did.
You did?
Oh, yes, you did.
I don't think that's true. I think that's a myth.
I went on a field trip once to the Bronx Zoo, and I go into the reptile house. Maybe it was the bat cave. It was one of those things.
The gorillas are extra.
No. You had to go in and see like the nighttime creatures. Like they only were like nocturnal. And we were with this other mother. Our dad was chaperoning. You know, two of them with like 30 kids or whatever it was. You know, there was a limit. You could only take so many kids into the house. And it was like, well, you'd have to go 3 times to get everybody in there. And so I remember her saying it. I didn't think about it because I was a dumb little kid. She's like, well, why don't you go twice and I'll go once? And our father was like, yeah, sure. When he came back the second time, he's like, That stupid cheap bitch made me go in twice. She didn't want to pay the $8 to take herself through again. She was so mad.
Christ.
That's all I remember from that trip. I didn't learn anything about animals.
Oh, no, you never do. You just look at them.
Yeah. Oh, anyway. Saw the movie.
Yeah. Well, there was a movie we saw. Deadpool 2.
Deadpool 2.
And waiting for Miss Hildebrand to arrive. Not here yet. What would you say? First openly gay character in a superhero film?
First openly gay couple. On
couple.
Screen. Yeah.
Okay, good for them.
Her and the Asian girl.
Suki? Something?
Yeah, did her name change every time he said goodbye to her?
I think so.
He would say something different?
Yeah, something equally racist and moderately sexual.
Yeah,
you know.
That's funny.
So just variations on the whole Taiwanese hooker theme.
What? No, she was a teenage Japanese girl.
Japanese girl. That's what I meant to say. Yukio, you know,
always,
is her actual
name. The one
that
always gives like the peace sign for every photo.
Yeah. Oh God.
Yeah. She was like that.
You don't think it's a thing until you go to like a foreign country for 5 minutes and you go, oh yeah, no, that's every Japanese person on the planet. That's what they do.
That's what they do.
So, I mean, it's fine.
Well, that's their thing. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. Well, in America, all the girls put their hands on their hips and stick their chests out. So,
There's so many things that girls do in pictures. It's amazing. There's the thing where you stand with one foot crossed over the other, which somehow makes you look skinnier. There's the duck lips, which is beyond my understanding.
I think that one's going out, isn't it?
It has to, right? They just did so much of it.
Yeah, bell bottoms are coming back, so what do I know?
They came back in the 90s. They were called flares back then. Whole thing's a circle. One big
time
circle.
Time is a wheel.
Time is a wheel, indeed. So what?
Speaking
did you think
of time, because of this movie.
What did you think of Deadpool 2?
I liked it. I liked it. It was good. It was a lot like the first one, which was fine. You know, some of the shock wears off because you know what's coming. It's basically the same thing. But I thought it was funny, and I thought the action was okay. And it had just enough story to make you not be like, this is the dumbest thing I've ever seen. So I think Ryan Reynolds was born to play the role. So he does a very good job.
Yeah.
Fun to watch.
I have basically the exact same review.
Oh, good. Well, then we can call this early, I guess.
This will be quick then. All right, everybody. Thank you very much. The one note that I kind of had was like, yeah, okay. You know, I've seen this before. And not like in a way like the plot is tried or, you know, kind of whatever. But like the shock value really goes out after the first movie. And there's nothing you can do about that. I mean,
no.
The rest of these are all, you know, super straight-laced and, you know, relatively earnest types of movies. And, you know, you can screw with that a little bit, like, you know, Logan did, making it, like, super serious and super dark and that kind of thing. But, you know, you only kind of get one bite of the apple if you're going to go full tilt, you know, the first one where it's just, like, all cursing and violence and ridiculousness. And to do it twice is just to really just to do the exact same thing again. And that, it's not bad if you stick to, you know, make sure we have a decent plot and something we can follow and something for them to go through. But like every joke is the same joke. And the good thing is that they're funny. So, you know, I've told the same joke twice and people laugh at it. So it isn't like it's the end of the world. I wasn't bored, but it was just so formulaic. Like, yeah, this is the part where they do this and that. And just the novelty is over. And so that was sort of like, yeah, okay, yeah, fine, sure.
Yeah, the novelty is off. I didn't really notice it as much. I mean, I did, but my wife actually put it better. When she walked in, she's like, I like that one better than the first one. I was like, oh, yeah? She goes, yeah, there weren't as many dick jokes. And she meant in that, like, the humor was different. It wasn't as crude. You know, was there still some of that in there? Yeah, of course there was. But he did a lot more cultural references and a lot more meta jokes than he did last time, because there were a lot of jokes she just didn't understand. Like, she didn't realize that Josh Brolin was the same guy who played Thanos.
Yeah, that was gross. I mean, they were still in the same sort of mode.
I mean, they were still, like, immature.
Yeah, and I guess that was slightly more toned down than the first one. But, again, I wonder, was it, or was it just that we knew what to expect this time and therefore we weren't fazed by it? Like, I remember being, I mean, it's probably a little bit of both. So, yeah, I think they did push the envelope a little bit more in the first one. And it's smart that they didn't try to do that again, I guess. So, no. I mean, like, they didn't leave a lot of, you know, there wasn't much on the table at the end of the last movie when it came to dick jokes. You know, there are only so many dick jokes.
Yeah, I think he just curses more. He curses a lot in this, like he always does, but there weren't as many, you know, bad names and stupid, like, you know, I'll take a foot long, fully loaded kind of jokes, which is fine. It just didn't lend itself to that, I guess.
Yeah. Now, this is not a Disney movie, is it? This is Sony.
Yeah. No, it's Fox. It's Fox.
It's okay, so it's Fox. Oh, yeah. So in association with Marvel Studios. So that's mostly a business arrangement, right? There's very little creative crossover, I think. I mean, I don't know. I'm sure there's...
Yeah, I'm sure there's a little bit.
But for the most part, this is a different team of producers and, you know, different brains behind it versus, you know, the Avengers and all that kind of stuff. And which, you know, that's obvious in terms of how the film looks.
Right.
You know.
I think it has a lot to do with what characters they can use and which ones they can't.
Yeah.
You know, like, we can't have certain characters in the movie because of rights issues and things like that.
Yeah, so there's no Spider-Man. Like, Spider-Man was, like, the only one where they were like, look, we need Spider-Man. You have to give us Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, so, like, I think Spider-Man's Columbia, which is Sony, really. So Sony owns Spider-Man, and they're, like, leasing him to Disney. And these guys, along with the X-Men, are Fox, and which is why you had that really funny moment where, like, they're all, like, there for half a second.
Oh, yeah, I actually liked that, Joe. Yeah. They're all right behind him.
Yeah, that was really funny.
My wife had no idea who any of them were. And I was like, it's fine. They were only there for like 4 seconds, but
just and like Kelsey Grammer like went into work one day, got all dolled up in blue just to close a door.
Is that Kelsey Grammer? I thought it was the newer cast.
No, that was Kelsey Grammer. Because that at that
I was
point,
looking at, I thought I saw James McAvoy.
Yeah, see, he's kind of out of place there.
I see. It happened so quickly, I didn't notice anyone else. I just saw him.
Yeah, keep talking. I'll see if I can't find that that screenshot. But
yeah, but she didn't get that joke. But she thought it was, you know, I thought it was funny. I thought a lot of the jokes were like that, where it's like, oh, what are you from, the DC universe? Ha ha. And she just kind of was like, huh, because everybody else was laughing.
Yeah.
But then there were lots of other jokes where, like, they had that guy in prison, Black Tom Cassidy. And that's his character name in the comics. And he's not black. He's white.
Right.
He kept making jokes about how he's a racist because he beats up Black Tom Cassidy. I laughed at every single one of those. I thought they were great.
They were really funny. I mean, everything landed pretty much. There was nothing where I was like, oh, that was really stupid or inappropriate or dumb or... Like, most of the jokes tended to land. It just kind of felt like we're doing this again, and it's sort of the same thing. All like get the same guys together, and you know, like the new stuff I thought was fun. Like all the new superheroes that all died in that first like 5 seconds.
Yeah.
And you know, and Cable was pretty good for, you know, not having a whole lot to say, you know, his motivation was pretty clear, and you know, you kind of figured out what he was doing pretty early on. So like you got his motivation for everything. And you know, there was no, the only thing where I'm like, what the hell are they talking about and what's going on, which relates to my question about the property rights, is that so Deadpool gets arrested at some point because he shoots that guy in the head when they're trying to rescue the little New Zealand boy, which I thought was funny. He was a Kiwi because like they're like the most benign people on the planet.
Was that the joke?
I guess so. I mean, I have a neighbor who's from New Zealand and he's just the nicest guy in the world. And just that, you know, after watching all those Peter Jackson documentaries about the making of Lord of the Rings, they just seem like the friendliest people on the face of the earth. And here you have this, you know, psychotic little kid who's got these superpowers. And it's just,
I think they're just happy people want to go all the way out there to see them.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's very pretty there, too. So I guess if you're surrounded by that kind of natural beauty, it just puts you in a good humor most of the time. But, like, there's the showdown at the orphanage. He shoots the guy. He gets arrested. And then they put this collar on him, which basically is just a plot device that we've never heard of or, you know, it never shows up ever again. Or since, like, it just, is that a thing that, like, there's, in the world of Deadpool, there's a prison where they just take aliens? Because what that reminded me of was the opening scene from Days of Future Past, where you have all the mutants being walked, like, slow-walked into internment camps. And I think they're wearing collars in that, too, if I recall.
Yeah.
Okay, so that, and, like, it's one of those funny things where we're now so inundated with superheroes, and it's very clear which movies are DC and which are Marvel, and the DC ones tend to be generally worse as films. And there's now we're like with all the X-Men films and Logan and these two movies, which are really popular, you're starting to see a split within Marvel, and it's very clear which movies are made by this company, which movies are made by that company, because not only are the characters different and the tones different, and like the visual style is not quite the same, but now we're talking about plot things that are wildly different. And somebody pointed out, like, it'd be funny to have the Infinity War and not have the X-Men show up. If you know anything about the comics, and if you're approaching this with those things in mind, their absence is conspicuous in a way. Just like all the stuff going on in the Deadpool universe, which is different than Disney's Marvel, it just seems like they kind of belong together, but they don't, because such radically different things are happening here that, you know, they A, have nothing to do with each other, and B, are wildly incongruous to each other.
That's comic books for you.
So it just kind of stands out to me, like, oh, yeah, that's... And it just takes my brain a second to readjust, to go, you're not watching that. That's something different, even though it's similar in a lot of respects. So I kind of had to go, where do they get these, you know, these necklaces? And, oh, my God, that's amazing. They can just take away his powers, and holy shit, and... Why can't they do that in... because it's different entirely. You know, different property rights. And so, like, the business side of this becomes a factor in so many different aspects of it that it's not confusing, but it's, you know, if you're not paying attention, it's confusing as hell.
Yeah, I guess. It's also... my wife just turns her brain off to that stuff. And I make her sit and watch most of this stuff, and I end up doing the same thing where it's like, all right, they have these things now, I guess. Okay. You know, you can't think too hard because it doesn't mesh up after a while. It's just like, all right, people with powers. And he even makes that joke, which I thought was very good, and it flew over the heads of everybody in the theater because he said it quite quickly, where he goes to stop that kid from causing a scene, and he goes, that's all right, I'm here. We're the X-Men, you know, we've been a stereotypical racist, like, stand-in for whatever is problem in society since 1960, and he, like, fist bumps a black cop. Because he's like, I'm here with you. You know, I'm standing for whatever stereotype you're looking for. And I laughed.
Yeah, he did that really fast because I remember him doing that, but I don't remember what he said at all. Like,
yeah, like he spoke very quickly, and he's right that they're stand-ins for whatever prejudice you have in mind at the time, and it works fine that way whenever you want to tell a story about something like that. You know, the kid who gets bullied and picked on becomes the bully himself when he grows up. That's basically what the story is. You know, they did it in Looper a little bit, but. It worked. It worked fine in this one, I thought.
In Looper?
You ever see Looper?
Yeah, with Joseph Gordon-Levitt and...
Yeah. It's basically the same kind of plot in which, for anyone who hasn't seen Looper, this woman's son in the future becomes a cruel crime boss. And Bruce Willis goes back in time to kill him before he can grow up.
See, I watched Looper. I think I had too much to drink when I watched Looper because I don't remember that at all. But I remember liking the movie a lot. But,
oh yeah, Looper was a really good movie.
Yeah, that was really good. Yeah, I mean, and this is a theme that plays out in a lot of conversations. Would you go back in time and kill Hitler, kind of thing? Mm-hmm. And it's a ridiculous hypothetical in a way because A, we don't have time travel, but also you invite a lot of moral questioning without real cause. Like, you can't do anything about this, so why put yourself through the agony of going, would you murder a child to if you knew with absolute certainty that this and I don't think any sane person, any moral person would ever say yes to that, even no matter what the hell goes on. Yeah, I mean, Terminator 2 did the same thing, basically. You kill this guy to stop the future, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And, yeah. Anything about the film that you particularly enjoyed? Like, choices they made, jokes and characters?
Anything I really liked? I don't know. I liked... There were more things that I didn't like that stood out.
Okay.
So, this one was directed by the same guy who did John Wick. And his fight scenes, it's, for John Wick, they made perfect sense. Here's John Wick was supposed to be like this ultra-efficient assassin who could headshot 40 people in a room without blinking. And that worked out really well. But all of his other fight scenes are the same. And that's how they were in this. So they were well choreographed and staged. I could see everything, but they were just like efficient fighting, where, especially in the end when they were storming this school full of orderlies that were, torturing these little kids, they headshot everybody in that scene or they shoot them and kill them in very competent, quick ways. Whereas in the first movie, it was, first of all, shot more stylishly. And second, it was messy. And that was the point of him, is that he was a messy kind of killer. He would shoot them and stab them in violent, unpredictable ways because he was just like kind of a maniac. Mm-hmm. This one felt like a kung fu movie where everything was down to the T or had to be choreographed. So the fight scenes got a little dull. They went on too long.
Yeah, it's like a giant Rube Goldberg machine when you know what the outcome is going to be. Like, it sort of, they telegraphed all of their punches in a way, and you can kind of see where everything was going to go. And, yeah, I see what you're saying now. There didn't leave room to be surprised during a fight scene. Like, if there was, any object in the room that was precariously perched, then you know it was going to fall on someone's head and kill them. And that played in well in the sense to that Domino. Was it Domino? No. What was Domino? Her name?
The girl.
Yeah, Domino. Her thing, she's very lucky. So you knew everything was going to work out for her. It's kind of, that's both fun and interesting and different and also takes all the tension out of the situation because she's going to make it. It's a question of how.
Well, her thing is, yeah, how? Like, what? How is she going to get out of it? So that made it a bit more interesting to see how, like, you know, things would go around her, and you know, she would land on like things that were soft, yeah. You know, out of nowhere. But you think about Deadpool and in that first movie when he just jumps into the car from the windshield, and he starts fighting everybody, and like one guy gets shot in the head, and then he straps a guy through the seatbelt and throws him out the window, and then he sets the cigarette lighter in the guy's mouth, and you know, like he's just making this up as he goes. And it doesn't matter because he can't really be hurt. Whereas in this movie, when he fights Cable in the car, they just slam each other into the ground 500 times until the scene is over. I was like, all right, this is just a fight, you know? It wasn't very exciting.
Yeah, it was overly technically proficient and at the same time boring.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess I see what you're saying. I also felt that they dispensed with Juggernaut really easily.
Yeah.
You know, the whole buildup, like they have this giant thing in the basement. What's his backstory? He's Xavier's brother?
Yeah.
Even though he didn't have an accent like Patrick Stewart did? Like,
or like a half-brother or something?
Yeah, and he's
they are related a little bit.
He's just super strong or he can't, like, he... His momentum builds when he runs. Like
no, don't go by that. In the comic books, he gets like a. He doesn't have mutant powers. He finds like a magic gem and a long lost temple. Like, I think he was in Vietnam or some bullshit, and he finds a magic temple, not racism at all, and it gives him superpowers of the Juggernaut. And he wears the helmet because Professor X can mess with his mind and stop him. But, like, as long as he has the gem, he's basically invulnerable. Like, he's everything's amped up to 11, which is a nice gag on his gun. Did you notice that on Cable's gun he had like a dial that would turn up the blast, and he went to 11.
I did notice that. I didn't think much of it at the time, but yeah.
So Juggernaut is like that, but I like that once the Juggernaut got out, it changed everything. And Cable was like, you know, thanks. Now we have to fight the Juggernaut. Like, even I can't kill him.
Right.
You know, and it turned the plot a little bit, at least.
Yeah, it raised the stakes, you know, a lot up until the point where he was pretty easily dispatched. But yeah, no, I mean, it was all about Cable for a while. And yeah, he seemed pretty much indestructible himself, even though, you know, it was harder to kill him than the Juggernaut for sure, but I'm sorry, harder to kill the Juggernaut than it was to kill him. I lost my train of thought there entirely. Good God. But
The wrench is a good beer.
Yeah, it is a good beer. I'm very tired, so yeah, it ran in my head. But okay, so yeah, the introduction of the Juggernaut to the whole thing, yeah, did raise the tension for that final, you know, bit. And yeah, the movie never really stopped. That's important, I think. And there's never a point where you kind of... There's a few moments where they breathe a bit and they, you know, he goes down to that, you know, underwater place to talk to the girl from Firefly for a minute, who died pretty early on. I thought that was interesting, mostly because I follow her on Instagram and she's just been doing a lot of press for the movie. And I'm like, oh, but you're barely in this movie. She's got maybe three scenes, and that was sort of it. Whereas she didn't have a huge role in the first movie, but she was central to the entire point in a different kind of way, in a much more urgent kind of way. Mm-hmm. Like, he was trying to, you know, he was trying to kill himself, which he couldn't do. Which I thought was interesting that, you know, he really went all out to do that and couldn't pull it off. But, you know, she's differently present in this movie and just sort of less so. And I don't know. I was surprised that they did that like right out of the gate, but I guess it makes sense.
Well, yeah, and they sort of erase it too at the end when, you know, he goes back in time and saves her.
Yeah, okay. So what do you think of the ending? Because that I thought was pretty interesting.
I thought it was, you know, it made sense. Because it's the kind of movie where it's like, let's have our cake and eat it too, kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I was fine with that. No, I never saw Which is it, The Wolverine or Wolverine Origins? Or
oh, Origins, yeah.
Is it Origins? Okay, so... Yeah, I've seen The Wolverine, which is pretty good. But
that,
Origins...
Yeah, that movie's actually pretty good. Yeah. Like, it's not the best movie of all time, but it's leagues ahead of Wolverine Origins. Yeah,
I heard that was a train wreck. So is was that the only scene where you see Deadpool?
No, he's in it, but he looks just like normal Ryan Reynolds. And they're on some mission, and like he gets hurt or injured or killed, and they have to bring him back to life, and they combine him with all these other powers, and they get rid of his mouth. And everyone was like, what is this? Like, what did you do to this character?
So he was played by Ryan Reynolds in that movie too?
Yeah.
Wow.
So the guy you see in that stock footage is Ryan Reynolds in a lot of heavy makeup.
Oh.
Yeah, that's the gag. Is that he? And he makes fun of it in the first movie too. Not as directly. They didn't have the money to. You know. I mean, the Green Lantern joke was good too.
Yeah. That, that was pretty funny. But, yeah, no, I don't know.
It was good. Here's another thing it didn't bother me because it wasn't done to death. I thought it would be. And there haven't been sequels as long as there have been movies. Like, sequels are a relatively new thing since the 70s and 80s. I don't understand why they always bring back these side characters that have little or nothing to do with anything as, like, the comic relief.
Like T.J. Miller?
Is that the bartender guy?
Yeah, with the glasses.
He's okay, because he does something. Like, he's supposed to be, like, the guy that Deadpool can talk to.
Right.
Why is the taxi driver still there?
That's just pure comic. Yeah, the whole thing. He wants to be an assassin kind of thing. And
like, it's funny for a gag or two, but find somebody else. Like, I always think of... The first Ace Ventura was a good movie, you know, stupid, but it was a good movie. He had all the animals in his apartment. And then in the second movie, they paired him up with the monkey. He always had a monkey on his shoulder.
Yeah.
All I kept thinking was, like, why did they bring this one monkey back to always be in scenes with him? It's just so annoying. And it's just bad, lazy writing where, you know, we need the dumb jokes. They did it with Men in Black. In Men in Black with Tommy Lee Jones, there's a scene where he interviews the dog that's the alien.
Right,
it's like a dog or something. In the second Men in Black, that dog is in half the scenes with him. He's practically third billing. I'm sitting there like, why did they just drag this sidekick character? It's so annoying. So every time the cab driver showed up, I was like, ugh, this movie has a lot of characters already. We don't need this guy in here.
Yeah.
It's not like it breaks the movie. It's just every time I saw him, I'm like, oh, yeah. This guy?
He doesn't really do anything. I felt the same way about Colossus in a way. Like,
yeah, a little bit too.
He was, you know, he was certainly helpful. You needed him to help you beat the Juggernaut. But he was sort of the same shtick, you know, the forthright upstanding Colossus and the ridiculous and dangerous and foul-mouthed Deadpool and how they're opposites and blah, blah, blah. Just kind of the same shtick again. It would have been interesting if they had gone with different X-Men.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they wanted to tell a joke about how they only get these few kind of thing and they're not that important as compared to the four that were in that room when they closed the door.
Right. I mean, because Deadpool is so extreme that it's easier to find a nicer character. Like, Colossus is ultra nice, but it's not that hard to find a nice character. But those jokes weren't as good this time because you could tell the budget was way higher. Like, the first movie really didn't make, you know, it was made for, what, $58 million. This movie was made a lot more than that. They had a budget this time. So you can't make the same joke that the movie's cheap when it's clearly not cheap.
Yeah. That's,
you know, it would have been better if he said, like, we, you know, we have a bigger budget now, so let's blow some of it on a scene here or something like that.
You know, find some more, you know, top flight people to,
yeah,
to make, you know, longer cameos than just budget. Yeah, budget was $110 million versus the budget for Deadpool 1 was 58.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's again though, I think that's what our basic complaint overall is, that there's a general lack of creativity with this one. Because it's a sequel, and that's what you're going to get pretty much all the time. They made some interesting choices. They kill people off. You know, they had new villains, which was nice. But generally, it's the same.
It's the same thing.
Same movie.
And that's fine. I was glad to see there weren't any children in the audience this time.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I don't think I saw any kids in the showing I went to. Because that was awkward the first time.
I thought it was weird. But there were a lot more, especially younger. I mean, I went at night. The first time I saw Deadpool was on a Friday morning at like 11. And it was me and six other people. And the women were with their husbands. And they were like, what the fuck is this? They were really not happy. This time there were way more women. There were younger people from college. You know, they got out of college and they're back in town. So the movie was crowded. You know, and my wife wanted to go, so it was nice to see, I guess.
Yeah. Any favorite song? It was a pretty big soundtrack there.
I thought it was great they did the Dolly Parton when he's busy murdering all these mob bosses and stuff.
9 to 5.
I enjoyed the James Bond opening, too.
How did the movie open? I'm trying to think now. I don't remember at all. That's weird.
Well, after she dies, they do like a kind of, you know, where, you know how James Bond openings, they have the women doing the weird poses and there's multiples of them in the distance.
Oh, yeah. Kind of.
I had him doing.
Yeah. Sort of psychedelic type.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, where he's like sitting on his own hand, like it's shaped like a gun and it's doing like the, you know, shooting bullets that look like him coming out of him.
I enjoyed
you, any songs.
I like AC/DC, so Thunderstruck was nice to have in there. When they're, you know, it's a great building song. Like as like, because the intro to that song lasts like a minute, and then it takes another minute to get to the chorus.
Where do they use that song in the movie again?
When they're jumping out of the plane.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Right before they all die.
Getting to a. So there were some cameos in this film too that I didn't. I caught the big one that everyone talked about, which apparently to get him in the film, Ryan Reynolds had to personally deliver Starbucks coffee to his house.
Oh, really? I heard he really wanted to be in it because he liked the first one.
Right. What I read was that he asked for it, like this, you know, like a weird writer thing. And Reynolds did it. Like he had forgotten about that. He's like, oh, right. Yeah, thanks. Like, yeah, I'll do the movie, sure. And, you know, did it for scale instead of like $11 million.
Yeah.
For, was it a full second's worth of footage you saw this guy on screen for?
It was at least one.
He's 1 second.
Because my brain did register it was him.
Yeah.
You know, but then it was off.
Yeah, then that was gone. And then Terry Crews, that wasn't a cameo, but who was the alien guy? Was he somebody?
Yeah. Oh, I don't think so.
Yeah, I'm trying to think.
What was his name? Shatterstar.
Yeah, Shatterstar.
And it's so funny because, like, I mean, half the joke is that these characters are not popular characters, and also the other half is that they don't have the rights to the good ones, so they have to use these crappy ones.
Right.
When we used to collect, like, you know, the comic book, like baseball cards with these characters,
I love
you would get these characters because they were the easier ones that no one wanted. So, like, a Spider-Man was super rare, and you would get 10 Shatterstar cards. So, like, I heard of these characters before. I'm like, and I was sitting like, holy crap, they dragged that guy out? And then they all died. So I was like, oh, okay, never mind. But,
and Peter, that was.
Oh yeah, he was the best.
That one guy. He's like
a regular guy.
I don't know, just looked fun to me, you know.
Yeah. I saw the ad. I needed to work.
You're in.
You're in.
Yeah, great.
And he calls him like, you know, what's his name? Pete, Daryl, David? You know, like it's just some boring name he calls him every time.
You can't think of his actual name.
And he tells him when he goes back in time, like, don't go over there, you're going to die. He goes, yeah, okay, that's fine. This is actually kind of scary. I'm going to go.
Yeah, I like that a lot. He's like, at some point, it's like, okay, this is probably too much.
Yeah, like jumping out of the plane is bad enough.
But he was so dead serious. And there's like Thunderstruck playing in the background and his mustache is flying.
Because he's still just wearing like a button-down, tucked-in shirt.
Yeah, he's, you know, dressed out of the Land's End catalog. And
yeah, every schlub in the office is that guy.
Oh, it's hilarious. And then what was the other one? Matt Damon.
Yeah, where was he again?
He was one of the two guys that, like the truckers who were talking about like baby wipes instead of toilet paper.
Because the other guy was Alan Tudyk.
Right, I couldn't think of the other one. That went totally over my head.
Yeah.
Yeah, no idea that was them.
I mean, they had a stupid scene, but...
Yeah, it was a totally ridiculous conversation. I'm looking to see who else was in there. You're right about Beast. It was Nicholas Holt or something.
Yeah, I thought it was.
And then Quicksilver was there.
He's smaller than Kelsey Grammer is.
Oh God, yeah. Kelsey Grammer's enormous.
Who were the other ones?
Cyclops, played by some guy named Ty Sheridan, which I imagine is the guy who played him in X-Men Apocalypse, which I did not see.
Yeah, that's him.
And then Nightcrawler, Storm, Quicksilver, and then Professor X.
Yeah, couldn't get Jennifer Lawrence in there, huh?
It's just as well.
Yeah, well, she's the pricey one. So
yeah, not so much, you know, with the working for scale. For that one. And Zeitgeist. That was an odd one.
Who's that?
Bill Skarsgård played him. Who's? I guess he's Stellan's kid. But
I've heard the name.
He was one of their crew.
Was he?
Oh, I can't recall what the hell his sort of deal was. But... Yeah, so there's a lot going on here.
Yeah. And I think this is just the kind of movie where you go and you have a good time. Because I see a lot of the reviews that are good saying the same things we're saying. You know, it's fun, and you laugh, you don't think about it too hard. And all the bad reviews are like, you know, it's trying to be satirical, but it's really exactly what it claims to make fun of and mock. And just like the first one, it doesn't go all the way. You're right, it doesn't. It's still a superhero movie, and even though it points out the flaws, it doesn't excuse it from still doing those flaws. Well, it's not that kind of deconstruction that you're looking for.
Yeah.
Because those kinds of things aren't usually popular.
No, they're sort of ham-fisted and, you know, obnoxious in their self, you know, their self-reverentialness, if that's a word.
Well, you get stuff like Watchmen, you know. We're going to really deconstruct a superhero genre. Okay, well, what you've got now is a boring, joyless slog of crazy people who dress like maniacs and murder because they think they're right. Versus, isn't it stupid how people always do superhero jumps and they land on one knee? I'm going to do it now. You know.
Yeah, I mean, there's deconstructing it with a wink and a nod, and there's deconstructing it with this kind of like professorial arrogance.
Yeah, I mean, when you're being satirical, you're trying to point out the ridiculousness of something. But people don't want that in cartoons and comic books. I know Wile E. Coyote can't really go through that black hole, and the Roadrunner can. I don't need to explain the physics of how ridiculous that is. And I'm just here for my cartoons, man.
And I think that's what makes this movie successful, and what makes Watchmen not even. And if you think Watchmen was good, then you were wrong, because this doesn't really talk down to the audience. It you would think it does, given the crude and the kind of gross humor, but you know, it points out things in just a regular way, whereas Watchmen seems to be like films like that, and even the book, which I didn't love that much, and everyone went bananas over it. Like, it's sort of trying to tell you how you should be looking at this instead of pointing out the things that you already agree with and trying to get on the same page as you. That makes any sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's, I think, what, you know, why people sort of relate to this movie and don't relate to Watchmen.
Yeah, they're there to have fun, and it's okay to point out how silly things are and still enjoy them, though. I mean, it's clear that people like this stuff. It's a bajillion-dollar business.
Yeah.
And pointing out things that are silly about it, you know, you're in on the joke. It's like the Muppet Show, almost.
Yeah.
You know? Like, we know this is silly, but you like it, and we like that you like it, so here's some more of it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's helpful not to go in with huge expectations, too. I think that...
Well... Yeah. Well, the first one, everybody had no expectations. That's what made it so good. And this one was like, well I'm not expecting him to do anything different, really. So it's still good.
I wonder if that's a thing, or if it's a thing that we perceive as a thing. Like Guardians of the Galaxy, Deadpool. I'm trying to think of other, you know, Captain America, I think, to a certain extent. You know, movies that people didn't really have high hopes for. Like, how are they going to pull this off exactly? The Avengers was like, you know, how are they going to, you know, you have five or six protagonists. How are you going to give them all something to do where they all go through that that arc and are central to a theme that connects the whole film together? And yet we were all kind of like, oh, wow, yeah, they did do it. So how much of it is execution and how much of it is just delightful surprise at the novelty of the thing?
Yeah. Well, I think the first one was surprise, because, you know, even you're right with Captain America, because Iron Man had come out and it was very good. But then like the Hulk came out with Edward Norton and that wasn't that good. And we're like, yeah, another mediocre superhero movie. Oh my God, they're going to make a bunch of these and then connect them. So when Captain America and like Thor came out, Captain America was good. Thor was not so good. You know, so when Deadpool came out, we're going to make a rated R thing with Ryan Reynolds. Huh? All right. It's fair not to have high expectations.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's like walking into a horror movie and being like expecting Citizen Kane. Like, that's just stupid.
Yeah. I think Guardians was the first one where you were like, I don't know. It's a fucking tree. How are they going to do this? Like, it doesn't make any sense. And we were all kind of blown away, like, oh, yeah, okay. It's like a, you know, it's a gangs all here type movie where everyone has to work together to solve a problem.
Yeah, and in that one, they really didn't tell you anything about it. Like, the trailers were all like, look at this weird group of actors and weirdos, and here's a song you all like. You know, and you're like, I guess we have to see this. And it was definitely, because, I mean, don't bullshit me and tell me you were reading Guardians of the Galaxy comics, pal.
Yeah. Nobody read those.
Nobody was reading that stuff. I mean, even Deadpool is like, oh, I'm a big Deadpool fan. Were you, though? I mean, most of these characters weren't popular. So when they tell me, like, the tree and the raccoon are going to be top billing here, and we got really famous people to do the voices, it's like, all right.
I still can't believe they paid Vin Diesel for that. I can't get my head around that.
I know. And he does it in all the different languages, too.
Does he really?
Yeah, he just... Because he only has to say one word a certain way, so it's like, yeah, I can do that.
Christ. We're in the wrong business.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah.
All right.
Let's see what the janitors in my school make. We're definitely in the wrong business.
All right. Anything
anyway.
Else?
No, I liked it. Yeah. Go see it. It was good.
It was good. Everyone just, yeah. It's fine.
I'm sure it's fine.
Yes, I'm sure it's fine. All right. Well, What's coming up next? Solo?
Yeah, I'm not excited for that. I'm going to go tomorrow. There's a 9:15 showing.
Once you get there, like you can't get in the door.
Yeah. I'm going to bring like a breakfast sandwich. I'll smuggle it in.
A little paper bag.
Yeah.
Hello. Crinkle, crinkle as you open
my
up.
Newspaper. You know.
That sounds fun.
Yeah, and right, then, I don't know what comes after that, but
I think Ant-Man. There's something in June, isn't there?
I saw a trailer for Ant-Man that actually made it look good.
Oh, I actually have very, you know, reasonable expectations for Ant-Man to be not a bad movie at all, because, like, talk about a, you know, like a minor character that no one really knows, but like Paul Rudd is fantastic. He's just, you know, he's good at playing things seriously, but not too seriously. He's apparently very good with the action business. So, like,
yeah, Lawrence Fishburne is in it.
Oh, is he? Oh, yeah. So, yeah, no, he's good. I mean,
yeah, someone like it took it seriously and like started explaining plot stuff, and I was like, oh, that looks cool.
Yeah, no, I really enjoyed it, man. I thought that was. Yeah.
Let's see if I can take mom. She saw the first one with me. So I'll take her to see the next one.
Mom at the movies. What was that? Like, she wanted popcorn, but they couldn't break 100. That was the
break 100. By the time she bought the biggest thing of popcorn, and I was like, "Mom, we're never gonna eat that thing." She goes, "Don't be a baby." She started shoveling it in her face.
Well, that's funny. Yeah, don't be a baby. Okay.
Strap in.
Here we go. Sorry, but June 15th is The Incredibles 2.
That's
the big one I have on there for June, and then July, of course, is Ant-Man, and there's a few things that trickle. I am looking forward to the next Mission Impossible film.
Yeah, he's on the run yet again.
Yeah, but whatever, they're all good, and they're all different, and they've been making them since 1993, for Christ's sakes. So why not?
I'd like to see Henry Cavill's mustache finally.
Oh, yeah. And he's huge, Henry Cavill. I don't know how tall he is, but he just looks massive. And Tom Cruise is not a big dude.
Yeah, and they show them like beating each other up in a scene, and I'm like, I really believe Henry Cavill could kick the crap out of Tom Cruise. Yeah.
But yeah, so that'll be fun. But if you out there want to tell us what you think of Deadpool 2, Miss Hildebrand, of course, didn't make it, so we'll have to assume, you know, that she had fun things to say. But you should tweet us at 3DrinksInPod. That's at the number 3DrinksInPod. You can find us on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and TuneIn Radios. Click subscribe, tell your friends, leave a review. Like us on Facebook, email us at 3DrinksInPodcast@gmail.com. As always, please drink responsibly, and we'll talk to you all next time.
Yeah, take care.
Bye-bye, everybody.